Amen. Please turn to Genesis chapter 27. We'll look at verses 1 through 40. Who is right? Who is wrong? A lot of people look disparagingly at Rebekah and Jacob for deceiving Isaac. Sometimes I'm a bit different than most other people, and I have an entirely different viewpoint on the matter, and I'll explain that to you tonight. There are two distinct things about God that we need to note tonight so that we can understand what's going on in the life of Jacob and Esau. One of the things is the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but do some people perish? Yes. You see, just because God wants something doesn't mean we don't still have a choice. On the other hand, there is God's decree. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's decree, or his counsel, as it's expressed in these two verses, is his declarations of what must come to pass. So, regarding God's will, God has given the man the ability to choose God's will or his own will. But regarding God's decrees, if God says this must be, then it must be. God made a decree concerning Jacob. Chapter 25, verse 23. When the two children were born, Jacob and Esau, Esau being the elder of the two because he came out a few seconds before Jacob, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And here is the decree. The elder shall serve the younger. This isn't just what God wants. This is God's decree of what will be. I want you to keep that in mind. We'll be referring to this a few times tonight. Isaac, in Genesis chapter 27, determines to give the firstborn blessing to Esau. Verse 1, and it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Clearly, It was Isaac's intention to give Esau the blessing of the firstborn. Would you go down to verses 28 and 29 and look at the substance of this blessing? Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Now notice, this is what Isaac is saying to Jacob, but he thinks he's saying it to Esau. It's his intention to say this to Esau. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons, who would that involve? Jacob, bow down to thee. And then he gives to, thinking he's giving it to Esau, he gives it to Jacob, who is the rightful owner of this blessing, but he thinks he's giving it to Esau, the blessing of Abraham. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That is the blessing of the Son of Promise. Now keep that in mind as we observe. Did Rebekah tell Isaac what the Lord had said? Way back, Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, when the children were being born, God speaks directly to Rebekah and says, the elder shall serve the younger. Do you think Rebekah ever told Isaac that? Does Isaac know this? Doesn't it make sense that he would know it? Did Esau ever tell Isaac that he sold his birthright? Remember back in Genesis chapter 25, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. He sold it. If Isaac knew that God's decree was that Esau was to serve Jacob, if Isaac knew that Esau had despised his birthright and sold it to Jacob, why then is Isaac attempting to give what rightfully belongs to Jacob by God's decree? You see what it says in verse 28? Isaac is saying to Jacob, but he thinks he's saying it to Esau. God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, not only people, but your brother Jacob. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. But who was to serve whom? By divine decree, all of this belonged to Jacob. Isaac should have known this, but he tried to give it to Esau anyway. And Esau attempted to separate the birthright from the blessing. Verse 36, later in the chapter, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he taketh away my blessing. Did he take the birthright? No. Esau sold it. There's a difference. It's clear. Genesis 25, verse 33. He sold his birthright to Jacob. And Genesis 25, 34. Esau despised his birthright. Well, if you're going to despise your birthright and sell it to your brother, you can't claim that your brother took it from you. If you sell something, to whom does it belong? If you despise something, what right do you have to claim it? You don't. And Jacob didn't take the blessing either. It was his by divine decree. Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, the elder shall serve the younger. Who said that? God did. What did Isaac say in the blessing he intended for Esau? Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Isn't that the opposite of what God had decreed? Isaac is attempting to circumvent the decree of God. Thus, since God said, the elder shall serve the younger, and in the blessing that belonged to the birthright, you are to serve your brother, or your brother is to serve you. Isaac was saying the opposite of what God had decreed. Esau accused Jacob of supplanting him, as if Jacob did something evil, but the truth is God supplanted Esau with Jacob. Esau accuses Jacob of doing something that God did. And Esau ought to know better. Esau knows that Jacob did not take anything from him. Esau sold his birthright and despised it, and thus he had no right to the blessing, because the blessing consisted of exactly what God had declared belonged to Jacob. And so Esau is the one who is trying to take the blessing from Jacob. He knew what his father intended. When his father says that my soul may bless you before I die, he knew exactly what was coming. And he was party to it. Now back up to the beginning of the chapter, to verse 5, it says, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. So she overheard Isaac say to Esau that I want to bless you before I die. Verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying. And she tells him what was being said. Isaac said he wanted to bless Esau before he died. Rebekah understood what this meant. She also knew that this was against God's decree, because years ago God had told her directly that Esau was to serve Jacob. I think Rebekah decided that she was God's instrument to prevent a wrong from being done. Or else, at least, God directed her to ensure that his decree came to pass. In verse 6, Rebekah spake unto Jacob, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother. And this is what she heard, verse 7, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. So Rebekah says to Jacob in verse 8, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Now I want you to mark that. What is she saying to Jacob? Obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob's not sure about this, and so in verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So his mother says unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice. She says it again. Obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched them, brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so Jacob goes to his father. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that my soul may bless thee. And you will say, That was a lie. But I think there's another way to look at this. Does Jacob know that he has been designated by God to be the son of promise? Do you think Rebekah ever told him? Remember, Isaac preferred Esau, and Rebekah preferred Jacob. I can't imagine all these years gone by and Rebekah not saying to Jacob, You know what God told me about you? You're the son of promise. Jacob has a father who intends to give what rightfully belongs to him by divine decree to his brother. Jacob has a mother who says, Obey my voice. What would you do? He chose to obey his mother's voice. Remember in verse 13, his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice. Rebekah took responsibility for what she was telling Jacob to do. Jacob was obeying his mother's voice as she commanded him. Rebekah could very well see herself as God's instrument to ensure that God's decree came to pass. And Jacob was obeying the voice of his mother. She said, Just do as I say. What are the things that God uses to ensure that his decrees come to pass? Was Rebekah justified in instructing Jacob to deceive his father? What if Rebekah had not interceded and Isaac was allowed to give the blessing to Esau? Well, I say to you, that couldn't happen, because it was God's decree that Jacob have that blessing. Was therefore Rebekah God's instrument to ensure that that came to pass? Isaac says to his son in verse 20, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Is that another lie? Or is Jacob saying, "The Lord brought it to me through my mother"? Has the Lord ever given you something through another person? Is that a possibility? Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." He came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." But I'm not sure Isaac is totally convinced. And I think Isaac begins to suspect what's going on. But he gives the blessing. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. It comes over him. What has happened? And said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him." And it's in this next statement that I wonder if Isaac is making a confession that he knew Jacob was the rightful owner of the blessing. He says, "Yea, and he shall be blessed." Esau cried out in disappointment, verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Then it appears that Isaac accuses Jacob of theft, and he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." Isaac accuses Jacob of taking away Esau's blessing. But the blessing Esau or Isaac intended for Jacob belonged to Jacob by divine decree. Isaac would have had Jacob serving Esau. He said, "Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee." That's what Isaac intended for Esau, but God had explicitly said, "The elder shall serve the younger." It was a divine decree. Esau accused Jacob of taking both his birthright and his blessing. As we noted in verse 36, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now behold, he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" He seems to be in a panic. Isaac wonders what he can do for Esau, verse 37. "And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord." No, Isaac, you didn't. God did. "I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" Esau asked for a blessing. In verse 38, Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And so Isaac does bless Esau, and notice what he says. Verse 39, "Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live." Now he gets this part right. "And shalt serve thy brother." But then he says this. "And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Is that right? Is that Esau serving Jacob? Would you go over to 2 Kings chapter 8? Verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 8. Verse 16. Many years later. "And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign." Drop down to verse 20. "In his days, Edom," who were the Edomites? The descendants of Esau. Who were the people of Judah? The descendants of Jacob. Esau revolted under the hand of Jacob and made a king over themselves. Sure enough, Isaac's blessing came true. But then came a prophet named Obadiah. Would you go over there, please? Obadiah. It's just a little book in the Bible. One chapter. Right after the book of Amos. And just before the book of Jonah. Obadiah, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God, concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Dwelleth in the clefts of the rock. What is that? I can't think of the name of that place. You go back through the canyon-like, and you come to this place where they built a city in the rocks. What's the name of that place over there? Petra. It's in the land of Edom. That's what he's referring to right here. Verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. But upon Mount Zion, oh, that's Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. Because, according to the blessing of Isaac, Esau had rebelled against Jacob. Not very complimentary of Isaac, is it? If God desires that we have something or do something, we can still choose our own way instead of God's way. God will allow us to go our own way, though it will be to our folly, if it is simply something that he wants for us. But if God has decreed that something will be, it is silly for man to think he can avoid that decree and go another way. Just as Isaac could not go against God's decree because Rebekah prevented it, mankind cannot overcome God's decrees today. I recently heard this in the news. I couldn't believe what I heard. This statement: we must get climate under control. Really? We can control climate? Did you go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22? Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. God says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Oh, now the question is, how long is the earth going to exist? And they say, oh, if we don't get climate under control, we're going to destroy the earth and it'll no longer exist. Psalm 104, verse 1. Psalm and 4, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed. For how long? Forever. Oh, you say, well, what about Peter over there? Peter said it's all going to burn up. Well, based on this, my understanding of that is the foundation of the earth remains the same. God simply purges the earth to cleanse it. It's not a fire that consumes, it's a fire that cleanses. The foundations of the earth, according to this verse, will never be removed. And man cannot do anything to change that, no matter how much fossil fuels are burned or how many emissions there are from cars. And I'm not being political. I think I'm being biblical. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation comes. But what? The earth abideth forever. God decreed that Jacob was the son of promise, and his brother Esau would serve him. Rebekah was God's instrument to ensure that his decree came to pass. And regardless of what you think of her method, the result was not just God's will. It was his decree. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The elder shall serve the younger. Jacob had a right to do what he did. There are many things in life in which we can make choices. Choices are a wonderful thing. He's given us a will. But God has decreed some other things are going to come to pass. He decreed that Jesus is going to come again. And there isn't a thing that man can do to stop it. He's decreed that we are going to be glorified. And one of these days, it will happen. Learn to distinguish between God's will and God's decrees. When you understand the difference, you understand a little bit more about why things are happening the way they are in the world today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us to understand. It seems like Jacob did something wrong, and yet, according to the outcome, it was all according to your decree. Help us to see the difference between the choices you give us in life and the things that must come to pass because you said it would. And we thank you that when you say something, it's not a thing we can do about it, because you're God. And no matter what man thinks he can do, it's not a one of us can prevent your decrees from coming to pass. What a God. You indeed deserve to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.